You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
At a time when movies are delayed and everything is being rebooted, a group of heroes is about to shake up the status quo. This year, get ready. Your favorite one and done films are getting a sequel. No movie is safe.
Hold on. No! I've told you before, not all movies are safe. If it's had a sequel, I told you we're not doing it.
Yeah, alright. Okay.
Fan critical.
Yeah, and none of this fucking prequel bollocks either. Yeah, so... Yes.
Yeah, alright, Jesus. God, okay. Anyway.
Fan Critical presents Not All Sequels Are Created Equal. Coming to all podcast platforms right now.
Well, that was dramatic. Hello and welcome to Fan Critical. And today we are bringing you a brand new show. From the same minds as The Worst of Netflix and the How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That series, we bring you Not All Sequels Are Created Equal. Okay, we're going to give you a rundown of this new format in a bit. But first, today is a very special occasion as we have the whole gang here. That is right. All five Fan Critical members are here. We have our executive producer, Gaz.
Is that my title? Oh, my word.
What's going on here?
Yeah, gave him a nice little title. Executive producer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
glad to be here, mate. Glad to be of service.
Fucking hell.
There you go. We have our first assistant director or first AD, Emma.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Emma?
I genuinely thought you were going to make me the tea lady.
Odie.
Odie. Jesus. Oh God, it's grim. We did just do Train Spotting Pod, so there you go.
Wow.
And Len will be your director for this evening. And why that is important, I'll get to in a minute.
Len.
Yeah. Len will be the director.
Sponsored by Apple.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So basic premise of this thing, okay? I want you all to think, listeners, how many times have you seen the sequel of a film and thought, why the hell have they made that, okay?
Is that another show that we're doing? Why the hell have they made that?
Why couldn't they just leave it alone?
Yeah,
that's right, Emma. Why couldn't they just leave it alone? A few examples spring to mind. I'm thinking of things like Grease 2.
Grease 2 is actually quite good.
You're the one that I want again.
I'm thinking the Godfather Part 3.
Yeah.
You know, the first two were fine.
They were average.
And of course, I'm thinking about Bridget Jones, The Edge of Reason, for all the, you know, listeners out there. Definitely not. Also terrible film.
No,
but
I quite like
that's
that.
For Gareth. I know he's a big fan. Yeah, yeah, well, no, Lucy, yeah. This show's right up your alley then, really, to be honest with you.
Shit sequels, yay.
So we thought as a group, what other films, and your memory of them, can we ruin? In this series, we'll be hearing from two up-and-coming screenwriters. They will come to us with a pitch, a hot new take on a film that has never, and I repeat this, never had a sequel or a prequel. They will pitch it to us, the crew, which today is Emma, Gaz, and Len, and you lovely listeners. And after both have pitched, and after some intense and very, very probing questions, we will decide which one is best. The people pitching their sequel ideas will be on a rotation every episode, and at the end of the year, we will see who has won the most pitches. Today, pitching us their sequel ideas is the magnificent screenwriter Lucy Baron.
Hello.
And pitching us their idea is the other budding screenwriter, John McCann. Hello, John.
Again, full name in me. And also, you've gone the magnificent, yeah? and then Lucy Barron.
Yeah.
TV license people.
Budding.
And then I gave with me, budding. It's like, yeah, but you like, just the tone. Just, yeah, and there's another one as well. Like, fucking hell.
That amateur.
Unbelievable.
Look, Lucy's feeling very delicate this morning. We need to build her up. You know, she had a few bevs.
Oh, I am as well. Look at the state of my face. I sleep, man.
Yeah, true. He looks knackered, listeners.
He's been up all night writing scripts.
That is the life of a screenwriter.
That is the life of a screenwriter, to be fair. Mm. Raging alcoholic as well. Right, okay.
Don't
so,
talk about me like that.
Welcome to the studio, John and Lucy.
Yeah,
welcome.
She's here.
How are you both feeling? First of all, I'm going to ask you, Lucy, how are you feeling? Are you feeling nervous about today?
Yeah, I am a bit, because I don't know, fellow screenwriters, if you know this, when you happen upon an idea and you think that is gold, and then as you get into it, you're like, nah, this is not panning out how I thought it would. But you keep going. And that's how a lot of these sequels get made, I think. They're like, oh, you just make a sequel, make money, and then they don't think through the process. But I don't know. It could come off. It could come off. The cast could carry it, I think. And there's also songs. So I've written a few original songs for it. So.
I'm voting for John.
No.
I am gunning for Lucy here. Songs.
John, how are you feeling? This idea is kind of your brainchild. Mm. It's something you've been curating in that overworked, over, you know, lack of sleep brain. You know, you've been cultivating this idea.
Yes.
A lot of pressure on you to really get the first win of the season,
no
really.
Pressure.
I was thinking about this. I was thinking, you've got to win this, really.
It's shambles if he doesn't. Absolute shambles.
So how are you feeling, bro?
No, look, I'm absolutely fine.
Why are you sweating? Why are you sweating so much?
Look at the sweat.
Yeah,
dripping.
Just
beads.
Alcohol. It's all the red wine coming out of my system. So I'm not nervous at all because a bit of a confession. I smashed this out in like 15 minutes. There are about four other films that I really want a sequel to that I feel a lot of pressure with that I've sort of abandoned, and I'll save them because they need some serious fleshing out. And also, I'm not sure that Tom Hardy wants to be in all four of them. But with this one, it's like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Would I see it? Yeah, I think so. So I'm not overly
good.
I'm not overly worried about losing week one.
Yeah, what's good is, you know, for the first one, which we really need to hit out of the park as a concept, you've just thought, nah, I won't use the good ones for this. I'll use a shit one.
Build up to it, isn't it?
That's a great idea. From a producer's standpoint, that's great.
Build up to it. Like, you know, if you're watching a series, you want to be eased in. You don't want to go, fucking hell, that first episode was 10 out of 10. And then you guys come on next week and it's like, what the fuck? What is this garbage?
In fairness, you might need a good one in your back pocket if things start to go awry later in the year.
It's true.
True.
Facts. Don't show your hand
true.
So early.
Very true. All right, and to the other fellow casting agents, crew members, first AD, executive producer, and myself, the director, how are we feeling today about this new concept or idea? What are you hoping, Emma, that they bring to the table? Because, you know, I've got a list of questions. Have they fulfilled any of them? Have they thought about the process that goes into actually making a film? What are you interested in hearing from them?
Well, already two of my boxes have been ticked here, Tom Hardy and songs. So, you know.
Okay, good, good.
Just going to have to see which one pans out better.
Right, I mean, Tom Hardy's not in this one.
Right, you've lost.
Deducted a point instantly.
You know me, I've got rogue loves. In when it comes to any kind of visual production. So who knows how this could go? It will be a surprise.
Mm.
See you, Doctor.
Emma is the one in the group who is the least predictable in terms of giving, you know, random films a nod for the Oscars. Every year she chooses a random one, she never wins.
No, that's not true. I called Green Book. Green Book.
Oh, God. Right? You called Green Book because that should never have won the Oscar. I don't know what they were drinking.
All right, let's save that for another pod, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, move on.
Anyway, right. Gareth, what are you looking forward to?
Well, as executive producer, I think basically all that means is that I'm funding this film.
In a
way. I want to know that my money is going in the right spot. So I'm looking forward to hearing how, you know, how much budget is going into special effects Or are we funding big name actors? Or
I like this. Yeah. Are we good questions, Gareth?
Yeah. You know, or is it going into music? Which if Lucy's making a musical
soundtrack,
she's on the wrong track for me. Soundtrack.
Musicals
for me.
Are big money.
Musicals are
huge money.
Could have a spin-off.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, Lucy, put that in your notes. Okay, guys, Cats. We're going to get into the pitches. But before we do, a few things, okay? Just to say that, like your favourite Pokemon, we here at Fan Critical
got to catch them all.
Yeah, and you can catch them all. Some of them are very slippery and hard to catch.
Never going
to
catch me.
John. Anyway, no longer will we be scrambling for TV and film content because we are making our own content. And what I mean by that is we will, of course, still discuss TV and films, but we are making an effort to release a show every single week on a Tuesday. Keep an eye out for some fun new formats we have coming out in the next few weeks. If you are listening on a channel that isn't our main Fan Critical channel, so you could be listening on Lovecraft Country Critical, you could be listening on Watchmen Watchers, you could be listening on any of our amazing channels, please do search Fan Critical and subscribe to that main one, because that is where most of our content, if not all of our content, goes.
Yep.
Also, if you do want to support us further, then please head to patreon.com/fancritical. We have different options on there, but any financial support from you guys has allowed us to come up with these new ideas and to try and get an episode to you weekly, which is something we have really been striving towards. You do also get access to bonus content, and we do promise more of that will be coming. Now we have more of a structure in place, post-COVID, lockdown, mini-apocalypse, whatever you want to call it. Big shout out to a new Patreon, Holly White, who is our latest in the Patreon gang. Holly, thank you so much for your pledge. It means a lot to us, as does all of our Patreons. Financial support. As I said, we're having a bit of a restructure here. We're trying to get you guys some new content, and every single dollar that you give to us a month enables us to pay for loads of things like
bumps.
Yeah, feed John mainly, keep him, you know, a little bit drunk so that he actually agrees to do the podcast in the first place. But also just like hosting costs, all that sort of stuff that we, you know, technical equipment, things that we need to make the podcast, because this isn't our day job. So it's amazing. And we really do appreciate your support. Thank you, Holly. Thank you so much. And I'm sure the whole gang will also say thank you right now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Holly.
Yay.
Holly. Yeah. What's her name again? Yeah. Whatever. No, good on you. Good on you.
All right, John. Yeah,
solid name as well, Holly White.
Right.
Holly White.
Mm. Very good name. Mm. Very good name. And no, Holly, isn't that Holly White? Isn't that bloody Bryan Cranston's daughter in Breaking Bad is called Holly White? You know, it is.
Daughter?
Yeah, what's
daughter?
Going on
here? Yeah.
You're talking about Walt?
He has a son.
Yeah, Walt Jr. Walt,
yeah, they have a daughter. They have a baby called Holly White.
Oh, shit. Yeah, the baby. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Don't question me on that. Right, Lucy, you lose a point. For that. Anyway, not that there's a point system. No, I'm joking.
Nerd.
Really. Anyway, on to the pitch. Nerd!
Yeah.
Well done for growing up, Holly White, and despite the shambolic family situation that you would have grown up, you've clearly developed into a wonderful woman who is putting her money in the correct places.
Where has that money come from, though? Are we accepting drug money now?
Yes, we are. But perhaps we should move on to our pitches before we dig ourselves into a terrible hole.
Okay. Right, everyone. Now is the time to see if this format really does work.
Definitely does.
Now, John, I know that behind the scenes, you have elected for Lucy to go first.
Oh.
Either because you're the ultimate gentleman.
Behind the scenes.
Or because you want to see her crash and burn and then swoop in with a mediocre idea to steal the win. So anyway, Lucy, sorry about that. You're up first.
Okay, fine.
Please pitch us your idea for a sequel to a film that, once again, has never had a sequel. Lucy, the floor is yours. We are all listening.
Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings.
Oh my God, I can imagine. No, so I've done a sequel to a film that is sort of loosely based on a true story, and I've taken that into my sequel. So where that film ended, I have started the film, my film, the sequel, and as the original film kind of played with the truth, so have I. So I've kind of made up what happened, because I don't think any of this really happened in real life. So the film I am doing a sequel to is The Sound of Music. And the working title is The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Eyes, which will make sense when I go through it.
Ooh.
It's kind of like a play on words with The Hills Have Eyes and obviously the song from Sound of Music.
Jesus Christ.
Is it a horror musical, Lucy?
Yeah, it sounds like a horror.
Yes. I mean, it's... Cary Fukunaga is attached to direct, so that gives you an idea of the sort of visuals.
True Detective vibes.
Yeah, and essentially it's the Von Trapp family fleeing the Nazis through the Austrian mountains, and they are pursued by Nazis. And they do sing. So I have kind of written not a script, but a fairly long synopsis of just basically what happens in the film, which I can read to you, or I can just try and give you an overview.
Yes, please.
So,
the crew would love to hear this synopsis. Please do pitch it to us.
Okay, so the film opens with the Von Trapps clan driving to the border, which is, I think, how the other film ends. They're stopped by the police to show ID because the Anschluss is about to come in Austria. So that's kind of the annexation of Austria by Nazi Germany, history fans. And they get out of it by basically Captain Von Trapp, who is going to be played by Hugh Jackman, because who else can take on the role of Christopher Plummer to be quite stern, quite murderous? You know, we've seen Hugh Jackman play Wolverine and bust people up in Logan, but he can also sing lovingly, like we've heard him in The Greatest Showman and in... Les Mis. So he gets out, gets Maria's guitar, clubs the police officer. So now they've committed a crime. Now they're really on the run. So they're pursued across the mountains after the Nazis find the police car and the injured officer. So he's not dead, but it's still a crime. And they hear over the radio that a naval officer has gone AWOL. So I don't know if you know about it in the original film. The reason they leave is because he's been called up, Captain Von Trapp, to join the German Navy, essentially. He doesn't want to. Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe in it. And there's an escape song called Land of Our Fathers going on in the background. This is what they sing as they flee, because they are leaving the land of their fathers. And then they hide out among some mountain folk in a small hole that they come across, but they're unsure if they're Nazi sympathisers or not. So there's a lot of tension in this scene, and a lot of the conversation could be quite double-sided, like, well, what do they mean by that? The owner of the small hold leaves to get them an escort across the mountain. That's what he says. But the Von Trapps are quite shook, so they leave before he returns. But when he does return, he's come with a donkey laden with supplies to aid them. So he was going to help them, but they just don't know who to trust at this point.
It's not the escort they were hoping for, but yeah.
No, but it would have helped them get across the mountains. So as they hike across the mountains, they hear the sound of Nazi motorbikes. I don't even know if that's a thing.
The hills are alive with the sound of Nazi motorbikes.
I'm thinking of like The Great Escape, you know, and he's on the bike. So they hide in a cave.
What are you doing here?
Well, really, what are you doing here? The Nazi captain and two other officers corner them. So they find them in the cave, and they separate Captain Von Trapp to interrogate him.
Mm-hmm.
This bit is a bit like really not in keeping with the theme of The Sound of Music, but I thought it's realism, okay? This is what we're going for. So one of the younger soldiers tries to assault Liesl, the oldest daughter, played by Zendaya. Okay. Also, Maria is played by Cynthia Erivo. Erivo. So lovely, lovely singing, lovely acting.
I know where your inspiration for this film came from, Lucy, and I appreciate it.
Okay, good, yeah. Yeah, I know, you know, yeah. We did cover this in a cast it, but you know.
just for any listeners only who Cynthia. Don't know, can you maybe just outline a few things that Cynthia Erivo's been in, just so that people can picture her if they don't know her.
Okay, she was in, what was that show that we watched?
The Outsider.
My word, I can't even. Brain. So she was in
on
that.
HBO.
She was in Harriet, the Oscar-winning film. I don't know if it was an Oscar or anything.
Yeah.
Film, Oscar-nominated film. She was on Broadway in The Colour Purple. So she's just a very accomplished actress. She's actually
she's
British as well. So she can sing and act, which is what we need. One of the younger soldiers tries to assault Liesl. The other kids overpower the third officer, and Maria grabs his gun and shoots the assaulting officer and wounds the other one. So when the Nazi captain, played by Daniel Brühl, sorry to stereotype you, Daniel, but you're a German actor, so I've shoved you
in. He's great.
Mm. So when he returns with Von Trapp, Captain Von Trapp, she shoots him as well. And then they sing a song called Hide from the Stars. Jesus. So the stars are all seeing, but it also reminds them that there are parts of the world that aren't under the Nazi regime, and soon they will be free. So it's a very emotional song that all the family take part in singing.
That sounds lovely. Lucy, is there any chance you've got the first verse or chorus of this song?
Any lyrics?
Any lyrics for us, just so I can envisage this moment?
Do you know the song Rewrite the Stars from the Greatest Showman? It sounds very much like that.
Plagiarism.
If you could give us just three lines.
No one can hide from the stars. We
Maybe
must leave our world
it.
Behind. No,
Maybe
I don't
just sing them.
Uh-huh.
Maybe if you just sit down.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like, yeah, just about being, you know, just being free, and that they may have done these things and the stars are all seeing. And but
I like it.
You can't hide from the stars, but there are places in the world where they can be free.
And Lucy, if we're diving in with questions, what sort of style of music are we talking in this musical sequel to The Sound of Music?
It is more of the kind of Les Mis, quite sad music, like not modern sounding and
like
musical theatre. Yeah.
Classic musical theatre.
So kind of like Edelweiss with a dark twist, that kind of melody.
So, sorry, Len here, director. Just a quick question, Lucy. So just checking, would you say that this is the Empire Strikes Back installment of The Sound of Music? Are you envisaging a trilogy here? Because this sounds to me like the darker turn, the sequel.
Yeah, you know what? You know. Because, I mean, when we get to the end, you'll see that there is definitely opening for another film in the trilogy.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, you may continue.
Okay, thank you. So they sing that song. Then Von Trapp takes the Nazi bikes with one of the older Von Trapp kids. Haven't cast them because, you know, we can do that. We can work on that.
Sack those off. Yeah, we'll work on that.
So they take a couple of the bikes and they try and make it to the border. So the border with Switzerland. Maria and the other kids hide the bodies of the fallen Nazis that they've shot. And they try and stay hidden in the cave. And then they hear the sound of bikes and trucks. So this is like a few days have passed. So you see
more
them.
Nazi bikes. Yeah,
they're fucking terrified. So Maria holds the gun while trying to conceal the kids in the cave. And then they're shocked to see that it's actually the captain has returned with a Swiss guard. So they're all escorted safely to the border, where Von Trapp has sent word to his former flame, Baroness Schrader, from the film. Uh-huh. You know, they don't get together in the end. Played by Gillian Anderson. And she has secured them safe passage to the US via Italy. And then they sing the song, A New World, while boarding the boat, which is quite like, if you know the song, A New Argentina from Evita. A New Argentina. So it's very rousing as they get the boat to freedom, as they dreamed about in the song Hide from the Stars.
Lucy.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Yes. Gareth here, executive producer. I'm wondering... one of the things that I think was a big selling point of the original Sound of Music is the scenery, the whole environment that they're in is almost like an additional character. Do you see that holding a similar place in this film? Because it sounds like a lot of it is going to be very
dark and underground.
A lot of it can take place at night, but you're going to have a lot of scenes of them going over the mountains, the Alps in Austria, which are just some of the most beautiful scenery you could ever see. So you're going to be struck by both the beauty of the landscape, but the savagery. So you're going to have both of that. And I think our director can really bring that to you. Nature can help, but it can also harm, you know? And that's what we're getting from the mountains.
Are you imagining it being shot on location as well?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Probably, you know, I think probably somewhere like Bosnia, a bit cheaper, but got lots of lovely mountains.
Yep, great show.
Okay, the executive producer likes that.
Yeah, big fan. Save money.
That
I have a question, Lucy, about costuming. Obviously, they're on the run. Are they still in their, you know, nice little
they will be wearing their lederhosen and dirndls. Yeah, so you don't have to worry about that, because once you've got the one costume, that's it, and then you just need the Nazi costumes.
I have a question, Lucy, because obviously, like Gareth said, the first film was so popular. It appealed to all ages, and I kind of feel that obviously the older the audience appreciated it for other reasons too.
Yeah.
This feels to me like it's not going to be able to be released with a PG or
no,
a sort of
the plan is for a 12A
certificate.
12A,
which in the US would, I don't know what that translates to, but that's our biggest market. So
maybe
we're saying
M.
It's essentially almost an M, a mature rated film. You're going to cut out a large audience there. I'm a bit concerned that...
Yeah. Which audience? Point, what, the good under point. 12s? I don't think the under 12s would be going to watch Sound of Music or any musicals anyway.
Okay. To be honest with you. It's a good point. I need to hand over to our marketing department at some point to get some market research done on that. Okay.
Was it not a very family-friendly film, Sound of Music? Was that
it
not?
It was, but if you think about the reality of the situation, you know, they're fleeing Nazi occupation. It's not all sunshine and mountains. Some of it was pretty bad. So this is taking that story with a true story, because the Von Trapps were real people, and seeing what would happen, like what was that flee to the border like, and just reimagining that, but with some songs, because I don't think anyone's going to want to watch it without some songs. And the songs are really good.
How many songs are there in the film? And what's the runtime?
There are 4 songs. So it's not a traditional musical 4? In that every single word is sung. It's only 4.
Uh-huh. 4.
We'll look in the runtime. It will be under 2 hours, I reckon.
Under 2,
because
I know you don't like
90,
it if it runs over 2.
But
you're
selling me. See what Carey says. Get him on the call.
Okay.
Dial him in.
Okay. Well, he's busy shooting True Detective season 4 at the moment, so unfortunately,
we'll have to find time.
Won't be able to get him in.
Okay.
I think that's all the questions I personally have. Emma, Gaz, any additional questions? I would say that was a very thoughtful pitch.
Yeah.
The film to me sounds like...
music.
When you initially pitched it, I was like, yeah, this is very horror vibes, you know, sort of like a Quiet Place kind of vibe.
It is scary. Because it would have been scary. Yeah, it would have been a scary time. Just basically for that area in history, in Europe, and the film kind of... The anxiety of that time, it represents that.
It opens up the opportunity for a third film that
definitely
lighter, new start.
They settle in Philadelphia, and then you could have that kind of period piece in America, which I think would be really good. Maybe a bit lighter.
So this is a franchise.
But you've got to go through the kind of the horror, and you know, world wars are horror, to get to the light sort of Philadelphia.
Hold on, so. I mean, I
don't know if you're allowed to comment on the pitch, are you, John?
No, can I at least? No, I'll invite you to slag my film off. So that's absolutely fine. I'm just baffled that, you know, if I was escaping Nazi Germany and ended up in Philadelphia, part of me feels like that's even worse, to be honest. I mean,
I have to say that you look at their villa in Salzburg. I would rather be in Salzburg than Philadelphia. It's two. But if it's that or Nazi occupation, they just had to go where they went. And that's where they ended up. And they all became singers. So that could be a really good part of the next film. Just showing them as travelling singers. Because they were the Von Trapp singers, weren't they?
Of brotherly love. If you've watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Great show.
You will see that. Some parts of the city are indeed a shithole.
The gang become Von Trapp singers, you know, that could be part of it.
There you go, there's a spin-off. I am a fan of the spin-off opportunities that this provides.
A sitcom could be.
And there are also,
actually,
like, so many of the children, you could even, if any one of them comes to the forefront, you could have spin-offs like a Frasier situation, even, maybe with TV, you know, something like that. Boom, 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 boom. Opportunities are endless.
Okay, Lucy, thank you very much.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to my pitch, guys. Appreciate it.
What a suck up.
Yeah, nice little touch that. What a suck up. I have to say, that surprised me. I was not expecting to hear that today. That is for sure. If that's what Lucy's come up with, then God only knows what our very own John has come up with. John, over to you in the pitch for your sequel.
All right, I mean, Can I just say, I've never seen The Sound of Music. So, there you go.
How the fuck have you not seen that?
I know, right?
Oh my God, guys. That is that maybe we'll cue that one up on the Hitsune series. I mean, 100% has to be done.
I've got to say, much to my wife's disgust, I haven't, and I refuse to watch it.
Jesus,
because I know everything that happens in it. Like, none of what you said there, Lucy, was a surprise. Like, I know that they end up running away from Nazi zombies, and it's like, I misunderstood your pitch.
Could put zombies in there. Happy to do that.
Make it much better. That would have been a certain win.
We get some zombies in there. We'll make some bucks.
We'll make some of the big bucks. Okay, John, over to you and your sequel, please.
Okay, cool. I'm not going to give you the whole film. You know. Ooh. No, because I want to leave you hanging, don't I? So anyway.
He's a dangler, juicy dangler when it comes to storytelling.
Yeah, but you can't prove it, so that's why I didn't get arrested. So don't. Anyway, so
Wrigley Worm.
So I'll start with director. Wrigley Worm. Yeah, so Wrigley Worm's directing.
That's Wrigley Worm. Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, well, he's got you hooked. Anyway, so there's a joke there for the fishing enthusiasts that are jingling. Cast a wider net.
Anyway, think of something with bait.
Maggot. Anyway, so director.
Stop it.
Director, Luc Besson. Of Leon. Yeah. Leon fame.
Yeah.
Is that a little clue to what the sequel is? It isn't Leon. So So I've got my boys Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross in to do the soundtrack.
Lovely shout. Well, okay.
Do you want the film title, or do you just want to guess it through the first paragraph?
Let's do that.
You're pitching this to us, bro.
Yeah, you be creative with your pitch, mate. However you
come on.
Whatever you think is going to sell it.
Hook us in. Draw us in.
Good. It's not, I'll not going down do it in route. Spanish. Lupita Ramos, now in her late 20s, is serving her second tour in service of the US military. A college dropout, despite securing a scholarship through her sports excellence, swimming, if you recall from the first film. Where am I? I already lost my notes. Her guilt over John Creasy's sacrifice and her tumultuous relationship.
Oh, I too.
All right. Easy. And a tumultuous relationship with her mother, strained following the fallout of her father's suicide, left her bitter, angry, and needing an outlet that normal society cannot offer. So you are right, it's a sequel to Man on Fire. Despite numerous accolades in service of her country, Peter is alone. She has no relationships, no children, and barely any friends, other than a once-a-month phone call to Creasy's old colleague, Paul Rayburn. So Christopher Walken's back, so he's getting some work. I had to check if he was dead, to be honest, but he isn't. So
hey, I'm Christopher Walken here.
Ooh. I'm walking here.
Yeah, Chris, if you could just read the lines. So whilst in tour in Syria, the place doesn't matter, you know, negotiating with Venezuela. In a botched operation, Peter's platoon are ambushed by some group, who cares? Despite overwhelming odds, Peter is able to escape. Instead of returning to base camp, she waits and in the night returns to kill them all in a blind rage. Ellipsis.
Jesus.
Amongst the chaos, Peter comes across a group of young boys, drugged and starved. There's precedent here because, you know, they're obviously casualties of war. They're child trafficked, basically. Yeah, so links to the first film. Yeah, so then... Anyway, so she manages to return them to the US camp. Basically, we find out that the group that Peter killed were actually a government-sponsored People's Army. Peter is furious. This is essentially human trafficking on the side of the supposed good guys. However, the orders are clear. Secure the region, hand it over to the US-sponsored government, and leave. This government is the lesser of two evils. Peter points at her badge, Fidelity, Valor, Honor, which is a 3rd Division Marine motto. or some other shit melodramatic line. Still working on it. Following some internal scuffles, naturally the soldiers that she works with just want to go home. They want to go home to their families. So Peter essentially is a complication. She's pulled in front of a committee and ordered back to the States for disciplinary procedures. The night prior to her return, she calls Rayburn. They'll deny all knowledge and you have no proof. They both know a dishonourable discharge is waiting back in the States. What do you want to do? You know what I have to do. There's lots of drama here. Rayburn speaks without reply from Peter. A last goodbye? Question mark. Ellipsis. As Peter sneaks out of camp, fully loaded, and with stolen intelligence of their allies' camps, she plans to end as much of the child trafficking as she can until her last breath, as this is a girl on fire.
Oh. And then we cue the Alicia Keys song.
Yeah,
this girl is on fire.
So it is a musical.
So yeah, so there you go.
And it is musical.
I've also put casting. Okay. So just an extra one here. So Pedro Pascal is going to be in this at some point.
Uh-huh. Definitely, for sure.
Some sort of cool bad guy.
Maybe the Venezuela thing is the way to go.
Yeah,
it's it depends on budgets. You know, Venezuela, come over and film it cheaper.
Who's playing the ellipses?
Yeah,
I don't know
who's playing the ellipses.
There's a lot of ellipses in that. John, I've got a question about casting. So are we keeping Dakota Fanning?
Absolutely. Dakota? So,
yeah, good question.
You know, this is this is obviously a passion project for her. You know, she's... Luke Besson's been brought in because he knows how to work a film about vengeance. And look, Dakota Fanning needs a vehicle. Like, she was an unbelievable child actor. Like, she's... You know, some people don't even know she was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And it's like, well, you know...
So not, she, not she's only good, that, man. I mean, she's recently... Obviously, she's been doing The Alienist season.
The Alienist,
yeah. Very good show. Do you think she can pull off a vengeance action flick like this?
Yes.
Yeah.
If End Bob Odenkirk can do it Show in Nobody, working. Then I think she's got a chance.
I've heard good things about that.
yeah, me too.
All right. John.
Hi.
Long-term listener, first-time
stalker
emailer. I am wondering, as you were pitching that, I was sort of getting... So tell me if I'm going down the wrong road here. I was sort of getting Sicario vibes in terms of the
tone.
The tone, yeah, the tone is exactly what
I'm
looking for.
You know me. I like a raw film, and unfortunately, and you know there isn't a specified ending, but Dakota Fanning does die in this film. She dies at the end.
What? Whoa!
Yeah. Oh, wow!
Yeah,
wow!
She dies. That she dies at the end. Now. But here's the catch.
Spoiler warning.
Pedro Pascal, you know, he's a scumbag. He actually gets away with it. He wins. And at the end of the film, like there's a little presentation. God. 10 years from now, he actually gets an award from the United Nations. How fucking sickening is that? And everyone's like, oh, that's bullshit. What? And then, but actually what happens is some young man guns him down in the street. And that young man was one of the child soldiers that that she rescued. And the thing is, there is a third film and it's called Children on Fire. And there's like this rebel group that are just taking down the government. Yeah, no, it's
okay.
So that's it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, well, that was an extra bit of the pitch I was not expecting. Wow. That's thrown all my questions into complete disarray.
What's Luc Besson bringing to the film?
Was it?
Well, he's obviously done. He did Lucy recently, didn't he? Not like that.
Which was okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I said which was okay. Oh my God.
It was
not
okay.
According to him, it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
No sequel.
So he's done Lucy. But also he's got that like Slander. Leon, that sort of his craft is he brings a bit of humour, but also it's this like tragic kind of You know it's only going one way, and that's fine. You know, there's victory in death sometimes. Yep. And as we discovered in the first film with Creasy, which I loved Man on Fire, mm-hmm. and that's the reason why I wanted to do this. It's a passion project of mine, something I've been working on for at least 2 days. So, you know, if that's not enough to convince people, then I don't know what is.
Well, it sounds like you've put a lot of thought and effort into this.
Well, it's worth noting.
You said you did it in 15 minutes.
The reason I put Syria or Venezuela. All right, you go back into your cave, you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, no one can see your film. So anyway, the reason I picked Syria and Venezuela was because they are two of the top 10 child trafficking hotspots in the world. So, you know, I want to bring that to attention. I don't really care about making money. So if you don't want to make this film because you're all about making money, then fuck you, to be honest.
Are any of the proceeds going to go to like child trafficking charities or anything like that?
Fact. Yeah. Dakota Fanning's not even getting paid for this.
Okay. Well, if it's going to mean you should give it to John then. If it's going to mean that the children get money, then, you know.
To be honest, we've dealt with the Nazis. So, you know, let's move on.
Have we though? They are back. Resurgence of neo-Nazi, I'm actually.
Trafficking children in Venezuela.
Yeah, that's the Nazis.
Love it over there, don't they?
Could you, John, combine with Lucy and put some songs into Girl on Fire? You might win my vote then.
Yeah, maybe.
With Alicia Keys.
Maybe.
I am
Trent Reznor to do it.
Please don't make it a musical.
Okay, if there's no further questions from the crew, just checking, are there any further questions, crew? No, I feel like all of mine have been answered in a way.
Wow.
Is Denzel still attached to this in any way, shape or form in a sort of executive producer role? Will he take Gareth's position or...
It's like Lemon's going, can we get rid of Gareth or can we replace him with Denzel?
Is it a deal breaker?
I'm sure there'll be some flashbacks through the stories that are told via Christopher Walken.
Good. Any sort of Christopher Walken monologue about a watch or anything would be excellent. So, you know, Creasy's watch, anything like that. Creasy's sunglasses, he loved those sunglasses.
Up his ass.
Okay, guys, it's time for the crew to make their decision. So the way this is going to work is very simple. I'm going to ask each of us who are deciding, there's three of us, to choose who they think has got the most lucrative or valuable or also maybe highest rated, whatever they want to do it by, you know, however they visualize
artistic
what is a
merit.
Successful
I think
film.
It's got to be based on artistic
merit.
Artistic.
Well, yeah, whatever matters to you, Gareth, you're the executive producer, so you're about money, you're about the cash, it doesn't matter. But so I'm going to go around the group, we're going to ask, and then the winner will be crowned for this week. Of course, as I've said, there will be several of these competitions going on throughout the year, and there is going to be a leaderboard, which we will reveal at the end of the year. Okay, I'm going to throw this over to Emma first. Okay, what pitch and which screenwriter, and could you give us a brief reason before you reveal the person that you've chosen, has won your heart, your mind and your soul?
Well, I don't have a soul, but my heart and my mind are conflicted here. It's a very difficult decision for me. Both very, very good pitches, well thought out in their own ways. Thank you very much, Lucy and John. One of these really, really calls to my heart. And it has a great, you know, big name cast, people who are really, you know, in at the moment and stuff that I think is lucrative in the film market. The other, you know, big budget action flick, you know, some big names, but
not a big budget. So
low budget action.
All right, so
flick.
You pick Lucy's film, move on. Get on with it.
I have to say my heart has been won over by Cynthia Erivo. Hugh Jackman and the Nazi
Lucy.
Motorbikes. My vote goes to Lucy. A huge amount of thought gone into that, especially with the songs and the thought of a possible third film to make it a trilogy.
That is true. It's a franchise.
Forward thinking.
That's 1-0 to Lucy. Now, I'm going to go next, Gareth, because I don't
better
want to be
if I go.
This.
I think it's better if I go next. Come on. I think it's better if I go next.
I think I'm going to go next.
It makes more sense for me to go next.
Oh my word.
Gareth. I think
alphabetical.
I know exactly what's happening here. Len, welcome to wants to go next. Len wants to go next so that he can say, I'm going to even things up and give it to John. And then I have to make the deciding vote. That's exactly what you want to do.
I'm not necessarily doing that. Okay,
no, Gareth. Not necessarily doing that.
Okay, Gareth. You're throwing your little executive producer toys out of the pram, being a little one of those pests at a movie set that no one knows why you're there. Go on, you go next then, and then I can get on my job.
All right. I'm going to even things up to keep it interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Scumbag.
I've got to say, I am, first of all, incredibly impressed with the quality of pitches today, but also really intimidated by the quality of pitches and nervous about when it's my turn because was not expecting to have to put in the effort that you two have.
He only spent 15 minutes doing it.
Typical producer.
He still managed to write half a script full of ellipses as well.
That's the trick, Gaz, clearly.
For me, I thought after I heard the first pitch, this is going to be hard to beat. And it was hard to beat. But if I'm going to say which film I would watch, having never seen The Sound of Music, I'm unlikely to go and see the sequel.
But that's mental in its own right.
How the fuck have you not seen
that? That is a thing that you haven't. That's just insane. Hey.
Shh. So, I did really enjoy Man on Fire, and I think that.
Man on Fire.
I think Fire as well.
Man fire. Below Fire. Oh, that could be the...
That's a prequel.
Yeah. We've got a whole series coming. I'm going to have to go with it. I think I am a huge fan of the directorial choice. And as I said during the pitch, I was getting some Sicario vibes, which is a film I like very much. And I think that's kind of a new direction for action movies as well. And I think John's tapped into that, which is why I'm very marginally picking Girl on Fire over The Hills Are Alive with the sound of
Girl on Fire.
Yeah. But congratulations to both of you for wonderful pitches.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah, good. So now it's left up to me.
Which is only right then, as director.
Yeah,
you know, you should be making the final choice.
Self-nominated director.
Yeah, no one voted for that.
Host director. All right, I will echo Gareth's thoughts that the quality of pitching. I was worried. I'm not going to lie to you that we'd rock up here and you'd have only just half-assed it, not actually come up with a thoughtful, meaningful pitch. And both of you did come to the table with good pitches. Lucy's one, completely out of left field, has challenged my thoughts on Sound of Music. But not only that, it's made me think, wow, what would a darker, gritty sort of horror thriller vibe come out of that film? And I'm like, that's interesting to me. Something that I haven't necessarily seen before.
But
then John comes along with one of my favourite films, and I will say this, Man on Fire, which, to be honest with you, when I talk about films that don't need a sequel, this is one of the ones where I'm like, okay, it doesn't really need a sequel because, X, Y, Z sort of ends perfectly, in my opinion. It's got a not a happy ending, as it were. It's got, it's a tragedy, this film. It's a lot of violence, and it's hard to relive that all over again. There's a part of me that is sad that that is what she grows up to be in John's pitch, but I find that interesting. It's like how some of my favorite video games, like The Last of Us and stuff like that, is. It's quite depressing and that sort of thing. And I have to say, both of these pitches, I was certain that I was going to choose Lucy's after I heard Lucy's because I was worried about John's. But then I heard John's. But I
just
think,
say John's, and then we can end the podcast. Come on, you know you're going to choose. John.
I'm actually going to choose I'll tell you why. I'm going to choose Lucy's film.
Yes!
Because I do think that that is something I haven't seen before in terms of I think there's room in that sequel to make it very interesting. It's got mass appeal. I think, like I said, if it follows this thriller sort of route through the mountains with this completely different direction for that family, that for me is interesting. And as much as I love John's pitch, and I think John's pitch is fantastic, and I love that sort of genre of film, I've kind of seen that film before. And to me,
no, you haven't.
That isn't as
Girl
interesting
on fire, it's called.
As Lucy's. Yeah, sorry. So I'm going to choose Lucy's film.
Wow.
Because I think that has something that I genuinely haven't
utter
seen.
Bollocks.
That is left. That is fucking
utter
left field.
Bollocks.
I did right, not I'll, expect you to
yeah,
do that.
He's doing that. He's doing that because he knows I'm going to win most of these weeks. He's competitive and he's thinking, well, if I can get him started on a zero, you know, it's bollocks. I'll tell you what, when you started with your pitch, Lucy, and you said, and you ended with The Hills Have Eyes, I thought it was going to be actually like The Hills Have Eyes crossed over with
horror,
The Sound of
yeah.
Music. And I was like, fucking hell, this is definitely blowing my film out of the water. And then your film was like really sensible. And I was like, right, okay, I'm not that worried
well,
now.
It was trying to be based on a true story, but... You know.
I'll be honest, I was with Gaz here in that I am intimidated by the quality of these pitches.
Yeah,
so
a bit
John,
worried.
I wouldn't worry because Gaz and I came
not worried.
Prepared for,
I'm not
for
worried
the intensity
at all.
Of
But I, now I know, now I know, but I just have to get clean sweeps every week now. Because I know Len is going to vote against me constantly until the end of the
year. No, I'm not, John.
John, wait until I'm pitching. Len is not going to vote for me single time. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
I'm never voting for Len.
In a universe where Back to
the
Future
really
2 doesn't
the,
exist.
The show, is it? Come on.
And I pitch Back to the Future 2, Len wouldn't
vote. I'm never voting for him.
Is now the opportunity, Len, to discuss who's pitching next month?
Yeah. So actually, Gareth, there is a reason why next time we do this show, which will be in about 4 to 5 weeks' time, because we're doing the new showly rotation, which every week there'll be a different show for you guys. You know, listen next week to find out what it is. We're not going to spoil everything, like the ending of the movies that the guys have just given. The next week is a battle for the ages. It is me versus Gareth next week, next show.
Well done, Gareth.
So you can't vote for me, Gareth, and I can't vote for you.
I'm not voting for anyone. No,
that's sensible,
film.
I will say, please do vote honestly. John, I gave a very valid reason
I'm
why.
I'm kidding.
I think
fucking
Lucy's,
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what would be interesting, though. If,
no, I'm
upset, I'll tell you what would be interesting. If our listeners could comment on our Instagram
they should
and Twitter
vote.
To tell us whose pitch they like as well.
Yeah,
maybe
honestly,
that can
a fantastic idea.
Finally,
a bonus point.
Some justice
poll,
from our brilliant listeners.
Yeah. Just all of a sudden,
yes,
Luke Besson. I'll fund Girl on Fire.
Yeah.
Remember how much Holly White, remember how much John liked your name. So.
Yeah, true. So yes, Gareth, good point. You can email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. That is fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. Please do let us know your thoughts on these pitches. Do support us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/fancritical. patreon.com/fancritical. On there, you can subscribe, get access to bonus content and message us, join a Discord server. You can get in touch with us whenever you like. Just send us a message and you can let us know what you think of these pitches. If we get a lot of feedback, we can maybe run through a couple of what people thought about these pitches in the following episode of this series. We want to thank everyone once again for listening to the show. Let us know if you think it's a good idea. We think it has legs. I think from the pitches we just heard, I'm no longer concerned. It has eyes and there's lots of fire and children on fire, apparently. So who knows what's going on? But yes, I think this show has room to grow and improve. And I think there are two fantastic pitches to start off with. Me versus Gareth on the next installment of Not All Sequels Are Created Equal. I want to say thank you to my fellow casting directors and crew members, executive producer Gareth and first AD Emma. Thank you for joining us and judging what was a very difficult competition today. And to our two aspiring screenwriters, I think there is a bright future for you both in the entertainment industry.
Thank you.
So don't feel like this is a closed door, John. It's not. The door is ajar. You just have to walk
through
it.
I'll just go to a different
Lucy,
studio.
You're already through the door, okay? Yeah. Good luck, mate. Good
a bright luck. Future so, in the entertainment industry. And that does include strip clubs. So
And OnlyFans.
And
and John's OnlyFans account is...
No, don't say that, because there will be people like direct messaging
children
me on,
Twitter.
And is there one or... No.
Yeah, children on fire.
No, Gaz, there's not.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. We will return with this show, as I said, in about 4 to 5 weeks' time. Next week, a whole brand new show for you to enjoy. Tune in next week on the Tuesday to find out what that is. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.